Hey, folks, and welcome back to another episode of Get Wrecked, the only podcast anywhere in the world where two buds take turns recommending and reviewing some of their favorite pop culture hits, hidden gems, and oddities. I'm, of course, your host and resident silly boy Thor, joined today by my friend and co-host. He's a flesh machine. He's gonna do another strip tease. It's Micah.
What song is that?
Here comes Johnny again. It's the opening song to this movie.
Oh,
it's an Iggy Pop song called "Lust for Life."
Oh, okay. I know nothing about Iggy Pop, like absolutely nothing about Iggy Pop. But I get the reference now as far as why that was in the beginning of the movie, because there was the line about Iggy Pop.
Yeah.
In the film.
So Iggy Pop, he started with the Velvet Underground and then went on to do like kind of his own. Was it the Velvet Underground? I don't know. In any case, he was kind of like a Iggy Pop's music was kind of like the early what eventually became like punk music.
Okay.
And although this film is not necessarily like a punk rock movie, it's not about punk rock. It's certainly kind of in that world, I think.
Okay.
So it makes sense that you don't necessarily know him, but he is kind of like a. Do you know what Iggy Pop looks like? Have you ever seen him? Are you familiar with any of his music?
I just know the name. That's okay. Literally it for me.
Yeah. No, he's definitely kind of like in that Bowie. Type of world where he's a little bit odd. He was a big heroin addict for a long time.
Okay.
Which makes sense why they were like heavily featured him in this like his music and like references to Iggy Pop.
Yeah, I see that he is shirtless a lot.
Yes, often shirtless.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking up some pictures of him now.
Yeah, he's one of those kind of like cultural guys, kind of similar to like a Bowie or a John Lennon or somebody like that who like kind of lifestyle music.
Okay.
You know, where people kind of look at him as like a poet laureate of the punk, like the punk scene. And
gotcha.
Like that.
Okay. All right. Maybe I'll have to look into his music. I don't know. Maybe I'd like it.
You may.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like I said, it's definitely, it's certainly dated. I don't know. And I know you like
point,
people
yeah.
who sing well. I don't think he's a particularly like great singer.
Okay.
He's more of like a performer.
Okay.
And kind of like a cult of personality as opposed to being like a, and I think he's a good writer as well, but he's certainly not like the most talented singer.
Okay.
I think that's a fair way of saying it.
Okay. All right. That's fair.
Oh
yeah, I'm sorry. I've got to close this. It's just pictures of Iggy Pop shirtless.
He has like a pretty popular, I believe it's like his Instagram where he is like he has like a pet parrot.
Oh
and
yeah,
like he's just hanging out with his parrot because he's like clean and sober now. He still looks like he's on heroin though. I guess it just never. I guess that just never. He should be dead. Honestly, if you look at him, you're like, and you know. Like the type of lifestyle he lived. It's like he should be dead, but somehow he's not. He's a cockroach.
That's impressive.
But yeah, he has like a popular Instagram page, I think it is, with like his parrot, his pet parrot.
Ashley keeps sending me these videos of a parrot on either Instagram or Snapchat. And it's whoever's parrot it is, she gets the parrot to say making bacon pancakes just continuously to a beat.
Making pancakes, making bacon pancakes.
Exactly, yeah.
Make some bacon and you and put so, in. Do you know what that's from?
I have no idea.
Adventure Time.
Oh, okay.
Jake the dog sings that song when he's making bacon pancakes.
Well, I mean, that makes sense. Yeah, I get that. Yeah, so that's exactly what the parrot's doing. And
okay.
So it's just head bobbing while it's saying it. It's like making pancakes, making pancakes.
Do parrots weird me out?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I don't like that they just mimic noises. It makes me uncomfortable. And I don't necessarily have a reason why. I understand that they're just mimicking noises, but I don't like it.
It's kind of weird that they can make really good enunciations with a beak to me. That's a little strange. Like, they don't have lips.
That is true. Their throat's doing a lot of work.
Yeah. That's a little strange to me.
That's the second time I've said that today.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's... I don't know how to respond to that.
I think you nailed it.
Yeah.
Just how you're responding is accurate. Yeah.
Yep. So Thor, we were talking about this a little bit off recording, but you sent me a text, which I was very excited to see, that told me that you had just started to get into Bloodborne.
I have been playing Bloodborne, yes.
So immediately when you sent me that text, I reinstalled Bloodborne.
Yeah, peek behind the curtain. I got here to record today, and I'm like, what's up, man? What are you doing? And I look on the TV, and Bloodborne is up.
Yeah, I'm playing Bloodborne, baby, because it is my favorite.
It's a future it's a future episode of the show,
for
obviously.
Sure is. Yes, we're going to talk about Bloodborne. I have so much to say about Bloodborne, so I'm very excited for that. I'm very excited for us to play together. If you would like, I will buy you the DLC for your birthday, Christmas.
Okay, perhaps. Yeah, I don't know. I just downloaded, it was a $20 edition of Bloodborne.
Sure.
I don't know if the DLC was
included. Is part of that.
So I'll look into the purchase and
check and see.
It says.
Yeah, because I will buy the DLC, so good. It's such a good DLC.
Well, and you know why I started playing Bloodborne. We're going to diverge into, so surprise, Elden Ring chat.
You can't get away, folks. Sorry. Dude,
so the reason I did, because I did my New Game Plus run through of Elden Ring, because I was like, I have this new lightning mage build I want to do, like this faith dexterity build I want to do, and I did. And also I finally officially did it. I've thought about doing it before. I did a full run through of the game with no spirit summons.
Oh, man.
Full solo.
That's wild. Good job,
I finally beat Millennia.
Yeah.
With no summons, dude. It was fucking brutal. It took me like 5 days.
Ugh.
Like, honestly, I quit because I got too pissed and I was like, I went and did other shit and came back to it.
Yeah.
And just like changed my strategy and finally did it. I could not beat Consort Radahn, though.
I mean, he's awful.
I could not do it. So I did everything. It's like, I'm ashamed to say it, but yeah, I did everything except Radahn. And I thought about like, fuck it. I just want to beat it. But then I was like, I've already beat him with the spirit summons. I'm going to come back someday and I'll do it.
Yeah.
But I just couldn't do it. But like, I beat everything. I beat every other remembrance boss fully solo.
Nice.
I did a couple of the like NPC summons.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like that was fair because it was like story driven.
Sure.
Like the Black Knight against Mesmer, Ymir's weird Black Knight chick that hangs out with him.
Yeah.
Like his like.
Did you do the horn scent? Because you can do the horn scent with Mesmer as well.
Nope, I didn't. I did not summon him. Just the Black Knight lady.
Okay.
Because on the first playthrough, I did the horn scent. So I did a couple. I did a couple of like NPC summons if they were story based.
Sure.
And just because I felt like thematically it was cool.
Yeah. How was Bale then this time around?
I beat Bale pretty quickly, honestly, even solo.
Yeah. Because I know that when you and I went through, we kind of cleaned Bale out.
So I also found a hack for a lot of the bosses I ended up beating kind of a similar way.
Oh.
There is an Ash of War called Endure.
Oh, sure. That you don't get hurt.
Yeah, well, it reduces your damage pretty significantly, and it boosts your poise, like, by a million, so that you just don't get knocked out. So, once again, I was doing, like, a strength faith build, or a dex faith build, and so I was either using lightning, I had two different setups, I was either a lightning mage or a fire mage, but both of them have each have one really good area of effect spell that you charge. One is, like, brings down a fucking lightning storm in the area. And the other one brings up flames from the ground. So it brings up like fucking hellfire from the ground on the enemies. So basically you just equip like a dagger with Endure.
Okay.
Like a literally a level one dagger that I'm not even going to attack with.
You just throw that Ash of War
on
there.
So I would just throw that Ash of War on there and I would just run directly next to the boss, cast Endure so they can't interrupt me, and then just charge my spell and just shoot fucking flames up from the ground on them. Do that two or three times and then they would be dead.
They died.
Yeah, so
I love that you're finding all these weird things out to beat the system. I love
it. So I was actually watching a video and this guy put it perfectly. He's like, I'm not particularly good at Elden Ring. Like, I'm not good at these kinds of games.
Yeah.
But what I am good at is researching and knowing the mechanics and how the game works. So that's and I heard that and I was like, that's so funny. And then I ended up doing basically the same thing.
Sure.
Where it's like, I am not particularly skilled at video games, but I'm good at learning things. I'm good at picking shit up. So once I figured out, oh, hey, I can just cast this spell or cast this Ash of War.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't stop me from doing what I want to do. I'm just going to get right up on you and bring a lightning storm down on your head, you fucking ass. Oh, yeah. So,
right.
But yeah, I feel pretty accomplished. Beating Millennia solo
That's a feat, dude. That is a feat.
It felt good.
Yeah.
And I actually didn't do that cheesy shit on her because it just wasn't like really effective.
Sure.
I had to just muscle up and fucking figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not talking about Elden Ring today, though.
Nope, we're not. We better stop before this becomes another Elden Ring episode.
Yeah, that's fair.
Instead, how about we talk about some nice, uplifting heroine movie?
Yeah.
That sounds like fun to me, Thor.
Haven't you always wanted to be a young Scottish person addicted to heroin?
So the first half of that, maybe.
Second half, it gets pretty bad.
Yeah. Jeez. So let's discuss Ewan McGregor before he became a Jedi.
Hey folks, make sure to stay up to date on all the latest episodes by following us at Get Wrecked Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. Or if you have any recommendations you'd like to hear us review on the show, you can contact us directly via email. Or, I don't know, maybe you just want to send us some feet pics. You creep, I don't know what you're into. I don't care. We'll review those too. What do you think of that, huh? In any case, all your requests, feedback, and general criticism of the straight white patriarchy can be sent to getwreckedpod@gmail.com. That's GITRECDPOD@gmail.com. Now, back to the show. Alrighty, folks. So today we are discussing Trainspotting, a 1996 Scottish film. It's kind of like a black comedy or a drama. It's starring Ewan McGregor, Ewan Bremmer, Johnny Lee Miller, Kevin McKidd, Robert Carlyle, and Kelly MacDonald. Essentially, they play just these young Scottish people kind of with no direction. Most of them are heroin addicts, so it's kind of like a look at just this like disaffected youth in the United Kingdom, as well as, you know, dealing like, you know, people addicted to heroin.
Sure.
It was directed by Scott Boyle, something Boyle, Danny Boyle.
Danny Boyle. That sounds familiar.
Yes. Directed by Danny Boyle. It does. So before we get into that, yeah, as before we started recording, I'm like, I have not looked into this film at all. So that once again, I also heard Danny Boyle. I was like, that sounds familiar. Let's mm-hmm. see his filmography. So he directed Trainspotting in 1996. He directed The Beach 28 Days Later.
Okay.
Slumdog Millionaire.
Okay.
127 Hours. Steve Jobs, which I'm guessing was like a biopic.
Is that the one with Ashton Kutcher?
I don't know. I've never seen it. I don't know.
Let's see. You keep going. I'll.
He did 28 Years Later most recently.
Okay.
That's coming out next year.
Oh, so did he do 28 Weeks Later then?
I don't see that on here. So I think
that's
that was
interesting. Okay.
So he's coming back for 28 Years Later next year.
Okay.
But then 2019, he did a film that I really loved, Yesterday, which was the film where this guy wakes up and all of a sudden the entire world forgot the Beatles existed.
Yeah.
And so the guy just starts playing the Beatles songs and becomes famous off them. And
that was a fun movie.
My favorite part of that film is when he meets Ed Sheeran and he's like, he's trying to rewrite Hey Jude. And Ed Sheeran's like, you know, I like it, but shouldn't it be like, Hey Dude? And so he changes the lyrics of Hey Jude to Hey Dude. And then there's a later part where there's a couple other people who also remembered the Beatles.
Right.
And they're talking to him and they're like, hey, dude. And he's like, fucking Ed Sheeran. Yeah, no, I like that film a lot for a number between the Beatles and just it's like really sweet, like yeah. Well acted.
That is a good one.
Yeah. So that's Danny Boyle. He directed this film. It's based off a novel of the same name. I don't have pulled up who wrote that or anything, but so it's basically just a movie based on the novel Trainspotting. So with all that, Micah, Scottish heroin addicts in the early 90s, what are your thoughts?
You know, there were a lot of ups and downs for this one, Thor, because
okay.
When it started, and I figured based on how you presented the recommendation to me, I figured there would probably be some downs in it, right? Just based on the content of the movie. But I did find it weirdly charming at the beginning of the film.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, I was like, okay, so I get what's going on. And it focused more on just them kind of being rascals trying to make money. And it didn't really focus on the drug side of it, like the really dark side of it. And so I thought that was, I don't know, nice. And I was like, okay, I kind of like the comedy with this. And it was kind of skirting around like the seriousness of the content of the movie. And then it takes a really hard turn with everybody just so doped up. And then there's a baby that lives with them.
Yeah.
And like the baby dies, which it seems like it spit up in its sleep or something like that.
Yeah.
Is that how it died?
I kind of like that they don't address exactly what happened.
Yeah, they don't
like,
address
did
it.
Did the baby get into the heroin? Seems likely.
Well, but it was in its just crib, crawl, right?
It's just crawling around while they're shooting up. But yeah, maybe they're like, oh, it's asleep. But really, it was just ate a bunch of heroin or something. Who knows?
Yeah.
Could have been.
Right.
Or also, they were just fucking... Because that whole scene is like... He's like, I thought I didn't hear anybody talking for like what felt like a week.
Yeah. He's like, she could have been screaming for a week. I mean, somebody had to have said something to her, right? Like,
yeah. Who knows? Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like that's kind of like just telling this thing of like the baby was dead and the mom didn't even realize because she was so fucked up on heroin.
Yeah.
She didn't even realize. And so the baby's just dead in the crib.
Yeah. So, and
it's fucking, it's like, it's it brutal. Is a shock. It's like really this brutal. Real big turning point in the movie where it is kind of fun and lighthearted. And then all of a sudden it's like, here's just a dead baby in your face. And
yeah.
And visually
it's disturbing.
Like it's obviously not an actual baby, but like it looks very realistic. Like mm-hmm. the modeling that they did on it made it look, it looked realistic, and it also just looked like it fucking hurt to see that. It's
yes.
also interesting rewatching this movie. I'd forgotten about that part entirely.
Okay.
Because I had seen this a long time ago.
I don't know if I'll ever forget that.
just but to yeah, be honest. Yeah, like, no, as a father now, like watching it as an adult, it's like, yeah, I don't think like... There was a scene I had remembered of this movie is when he shoots up and he like falls into the carpet.
Sure.
That was the part of this movie that I remembered.
Okay.
That's the scene. But now, 10 years from now, the part I'm going to remember is when they pan to the dead baby.
Yeah, in the crib.
It's fucking brutal.
It really is.
And it is really this like change in tone of the movie.
Yeah.
Like it goes from being kind of fun and lighthearted to like, what the fuck.
yeah. That's exactly what I thought. And yeah. at that point, I literally in my mind just went, damn it, Thor, why are you doing this to me?
Michelle, it was Michelle. I didn't recommend this movie.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let me edit. Damn it, Michelle. Why are you doing this to me? Because with that, I don't know, just becoming apparent that stuff hits in a different way now.
It does, yeah.
So,
because also, like, before you have a kid, if you watch this, like, you think you understand what that, you think you can understand that, like, emotional, like, pain of that.
Right.
And then once you have a kid, you actually understand, like, if you put yourself in those shoes, you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like,
it's
the worst thing you could ever possibly imagine, right? So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's rough.
And
it's
rough. I also like that they do a little bit of justice to it too, because also the way that he handles it.
Sure.
Like, there's so much like subtext of this film of just like their actions as opposed to like what's actually said. Is his way of dealing with it is he's like, I felt like I should just say something. Like, there was something to say. And all he says is, I'm going to go cook up real quick.
Yep.
He's like, I'm just not going to deal with this. I'm just going to go get more high.
Yeah. Well,
and while he's doing it, the mom comes out and she's like, will you cook me up a hit too?
Mm-hmm. That did a really good job of illustrating the, I don't know, just the gripping. The gripping reality
of what like of what true that is. Serious addiction is.
Yeah. Because I immediately went from thinking this is I'm kind of enjoying this weirdly to that really is shocking.
Yeah.
To me, absolutely hating every single person
character.
In that room.
Yeah, hating like, all those characters. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so the movie then does get away from that a little bit, but from that point on, it really bounces back and forth with Ewan McGregor's character. His name was what? Renton.
Yeah. Mark Renton.
And he's trying continuously through this entire movie to like get out of that, but he can't get out of the circle of his friend group.
Yeah. Well, and he also can't get out of his own, like he can't get out of being who he is in a lot of ways. Like, because he's always trying to be better.
Sure.
And he's telling himself he's being better and he's trying to be better. But as soon as he has the opportunity to not be better, he takes it.
Right. Yeah, well, and I don't know how much of that is just the addiction taking over, right? Like he doesn't have the capacity to fight the addiction at that point.
Yeah.
And, you know, how much of that is him not being a good person versus him just failing in his battle with this thing that he's trying to defeat.
Yeah.
Which is a really depressing thing to think about it that way. But I do think overall that I liked this movie. But it was definitely a mixed bag for me. It definitely had highs and lows.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure. The cast was something that I was kind of surprised with this. In particular, I was really surprised with seeing.
I think there's two.
So Kevin McKidd was a big one for me.
What else is he in? I got IMDb pulled up.
The main thing that he is that I know him from is Grey's Anatomy.
Oh shit, he is the Grey's Anatomy guy.
Yep.
Oh shit, what character was he?
He's one of the heart surgeons.
No, in this movie. Oh, he was Tommy.
Yeah, he was Tommy.
Oh shit, I didn't even realize that was him.
Yeah. Yeah, so Kevin McKidd plays, for those of you who are into Grey's Anatomy, plays Dr. Owen Hunt in Grey's Anatomy. So he's the redheaded Irish.
The horny doctor show.
Yeah.
That's what I always, because Kendra fucking, I know your wife does too. Kendra
loves Grey's Anatomy.
Come home and Grey's Anatomy is on.
Mm-hmm.
And I know she has watched through it multiple times.
Yeah, I don't.
And every time I see, you watching Horny Doctors again? Like, that's what that show is. It's just Horny Doctors.
Yeah, so.
It's a dumb show. It's a bad show. And honestly, here's the thing that pisses. I'm going to go off. Grey's Anatomy pisses me off. Because the whole, like, a big premise of the show is the main character, Meredith Grey.
Uh-huh.
And, like, everybody is chasing after her. Like, she, like, everybody is like trying to bang Meredith Grey and she's trying to bang every doctor or whatever. I don't actually know if that's what it seems like though.
Yeah.
And it's like, she's a dog. You know what I mean? She shouldn't be in a hospital. She should be in a kennel. She like, she's so gross. Like what? She should not be the main star of any show. I cannot stand it. Like, it's so unbelievable that everybody is chasing after her. Like,
okay, all right.
Sorry, that's my tangent on Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, no, that's quite a tangent. So for me, I can't watch Grey's Anatomy anymore. Ever since we had our had Freya, I can't watch any like medical drama in general. I just can't do it.
Okay, like it hits like, too close to home.
It really does. Yeah. So for me, I mean, there are episodes that are more of that than not, but like when I see scenes, especially if I catch an episode that Ashley's watching,
where they're like opening up a heart or a chest or something,
or if like if somebody loses a kid, I'm done. Like, because we watched an episode, I don't know, at some point after Freya had been born, and something like that came up, I started tearing up, and I'm just like, I'm done. I left.
Yeah,
it was just too much for me.
Yeah,
at that point. And so, yeah,
feeling emotions is gay, so you got to avoid it at all costs.
It's just, I don't want to relive any of that.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So, for what it's worth, it might be a great show still. I don't know. I think that any show that lasts it's for done. 20 seasons is too long, but I don't know. They're still making them, so people are still watching it. But yeah, so anyway, that Kevin McKidd was a very surprised... Or surprising.
Actor. I did not even realize. And also, I know him from nothing except seeing him on Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had no idea. And the story of Tommy is kind of fucked up.
It is.
He's like the clean and sober guy who's like a good dude.
Mm-hmm.
And his girlfriend breaks up with him because he loses their sex tape.
Actually, yeah.
Which Ewan McGregor stole so that he could watch his buddy's sex tape.
I don't know.
And then after they break up, because he lost, quote unquote, lost the sex tape. Actually, one of his best friends stole his sex tape to watch secretly without him knowing. Then he's like, hey, she broke up with me. I think I'd like to try heroin. What do you think? And he's like, cool. Yeah, sure. Whatever. Go ahead. And then he like immediately gets AIDS and dies from AIDS. It's the most tragic shit of all time.
Yeah. I don't know if he meant to take the sex tape. I think that it was when I was watching it, it appeared to be because he took a VHS.
Full disclosure. I was watching the baby by myself when I watched this film.
Okay.
So I can't say 100%, like, I was 100% focused in on the movie as I watched
it. So for me, he took a VHS, and he asked I thought that he wanted to borrow, and it was this VHS of a compilation of the 100 best goals of this, football team.
Yeah, because they're Scottish, and all they give a shit about is fucking
football.
Soccer. Not real football.
Not real.
Fucking dumbass soccer.
But when he took the tape home, realized that was not thing. But he did watch the sex tape of one of his friends and his friend's girlfriend.
Okay, yeah. I thought he took it on purpose. I didn't. I thought he like sneakily took it. I didn't realize he had asked.
Right. Because when Tommy starts getting frisky with his girlfriend, she's like, I want you to put that video on so that while we have sex, we can watch us having sex.
Yeah.
So he goes and he puts that video in.
Which is a pretty cool idea. I had not thought about that. It's certainly, I was like, that actually does seem pretty cool.
Well, so when he goes and puts that video in, it's soccer.
Yeah.
Right? It's the soccer film that Ewan McGregor was trying to borrow.
Yeah.
So I think that's what was happening. But even if that's the case, even if that's what happened, and he didn't purposely take it to watch it, he still, one, watched it, and then two, when they broke up, didn't tell him that he had it and that he watched it, and then gets the guy into heroin. So, like, he's still a scumbag. Yeah. Can we, I want to,
yeah, as this he's was... not, he's a likable character, but not a good character.
Right.
Yeah.
As this movie goes on, initially, they all, as a group, try to get out of heroin together, and so they're all trying to be sober together, and it all fails on one night where all of them kind of have this fling happen. Well, with Tommy, it's with his girlfriend, and with Renton, he goes and finds a girl, and then his other friend is named Spud, and so Spud has his girlfriend, and it's like they go to a club, and then they all go their separate ways, and they all go to somebody's house. And they all have a horrible night.
Yeah.
All right. And I thought that it would be fun for us to rank who had the worst night out of the three of them. So just to recap, Renton finds a girl at a club, takes her home, sleeps with her, and then in the morning finds out that she's underage and still in high school.
Yeah.
So there's that. That's a pretty awful situation. Tommy.
Okay. Go on.
Yeah. Tommy takes his girlfriend to his place. All right. Things start getting a little hot and heavy. And then he has the very unfortunate situation of his girlfriend finding out that he doesn't have the sex tape that they made of him and her, and he doesn't know where it is. So, of course, to her, she's uber pissed slash freaking out because there's a sex tape of her somewhere in the world. Right.
Yeah.
And his night is just ruined from that. Like, that's a ball buster night. That sucks, too. And then Spud basically goes with his girlfriend and
she's been she's been holding out sex on him for like 6 weeks. They've been dating for like 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And because she read in Cosmo, you should hold out. It's been 6 weeks since they had sex. And she's finally like, let's go have sex.
Mm-hmm.
But
Spud's too drunk.
He's so drunk, he passes out.
Yep.
Can't have sex. And then shits the bed.
Yeah, in his sleep. And manages to get all of said shit all over his girlfriend and his girlfriend's parents' faces.
Yeah, because the next day he's trying to leave with the sheets and they're like, oh, let me clean it. Starts wrestling with the mom.
Yeah.
And then shit goes all over everybody.
Yeah, so out of those three situations, which is the worst and which is the least worst, I guess? Because none of them are good. But if we had to rank them from best
to worst. The worst is the shit one, obviously.
You think so?
Yeah. Because he got too well.
This is because all of them are really, really bad. Try to put yourself in those situations specifically.
Okay.
All right. And think about which one would be the worst for you. Because full disclosure, I thought this would be fun to talk about. And then I didn't put any thought into which would be the worst for me.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I think the best one has to be Mark's night, right? Because did he have sex with an underage girl? Yes. Did he know?
No.
Because had he known, he would have said no.
Yeah.
So he had a good time.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome.
Then she essentially blackmails him.
And then the next day, he's like, ugh, that was pretty bad. But he can still just disappear. It's the 90s. The internet doesn't exist. He can just disappear.
Sure.
And then he still has the nice memory.
Okay.
It's still bad, but I mean.
So statutory is not the worst in the scenario.
I think, yeah, no. Because when it was happening, he wasn't like, oh, this, you know what I mean? Like,
understood. Yeah.
So I think that's the best night. It's still very bad. It's tough to say that's good, but I know.
None of them are good situations.
None of them are good.
But sure. Let's rank that one as the best and move on.
Let's rank sex with an underage girl. But here's the thing that really is weird about that. The next morning, he walks out and her parents are there.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, you're Diane's friend. And it's like Diane's adult friend who spent the night in your house.
Yeah.
Bad parents.
100%. Yeah. He'd be dead.
Very, very, very odd.
Very odd. He'd be dead in my house. He wouldn't leave the basement.
Exactly. But so I don't know. I think he has the best night because ultimately things didn't go bad for him. Like, could they have gone bad? For sure.
Like, was it a bad night?
But he got away with it.
Okay, sure. No repercussions.
Did he do a good thing? No.
Right.
Was it a fault of his? No.
Yeah.
And he got away with it.
Yeah.
No repercussions. So I think he had the best night.
Mm-hmm.
Second. So worst. Who had the worst night though? And then because then the middle will just figure itself out.
Yeah.
So of Spud or Tommy, who had the worst night?
I know my answer.
Okay. What's your answer?
I think it's Tommy. I think Tommy had the worst night. Tommy with his girlfriend.
Okay. What's the case for Tommy?
Okay, so here's what I'm thinking. Imagine yourself in the situation where you're starting to get a little hot and heavy, all right? And she says, put the tape in so that we can watch it. And you are ready to go, right? And then you put the tape in, you realize that the tape is missing. So one, think about the drop in attitude that would happen.
Yeah.
Two, think about how much shit you would have to deal with all night.
Just phrasing, Spud had to deal with more shit.
Sure. Metaphorical shit that you would have to deal with all night with your girlfriend just uber pissed at you.
Yeah. Okay. You know
what? And also you in a panic digging through your entire house trying to find this video and you have no idea where it is.
Yeah. Okay. You know what? I think I'm on your side because more, less, even the scenario. Here's the thing. Tommy and his girlfriend, they had been together for a while. He loved this bitch. This was his bitch, right?
Yeah.
No. Yeah, no. This was the woman he was in love with.
Sure.
They had a long-term relationship. He's genuinely broken up about this situation that she ends up breaking up with. And yeah, they had other problems that were brewing, and this was like the straw that broke the camel's back, right?
Sure.
Whereas Spud, is that an embarrassing situation? Sure. Mm-hmm. He was so drunk, he wouldn't have even remembered having sex had he managed to have sex with her.
Sure.
Did he get shit all over her parents and her while they were eating breakfast? Yes. Is that embarrassing? Sure.
Uh-huh.
But
really bad.
He had been dating this girl for 6 weeks.
Uh-huh.
It's not, it's just not that big of a deal. Right. So you know what? I think it goes, Mark had the best night, Spud had the middle night, Tommy had the worst night.
Yeah. Statutory is the best.
Yep.
Shit on the in-laws.
That's middle.
Middle. Yeah. Losing the sex tape.
Yeah, that's the worst.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. All right, cool. Glad we cleared that up. I was just curious. I figured it would be a fun topic to discuss.
Yeah, I did. That was a fun thought experiment.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Talking about the actors. So there's a couple other, I think, surprises. One good one, Johnny Lee Miller.
Right.
He was in something else we reviewed not that long ago. Do you recall what it was?
I know him from Dexter. He was in Hackers.
He was in Hackers.
Oh.
He's definitely in Hackers. He's Jordan... Jordan something in Dexter. Let me see. I got to pull it up here.
He's the bad guy for season
Jordan
5.
Jordan Chase. Yeah.
Yeah, he's season the bad guy 5. For
worst
five.
Season of Dexter.
I would
but
agree.
Actually, I rewatched it not that long ago.
Oh, yeah?
It's still good, though.
Sure.
Like, it's still a good season. I do think it's one of the less good seasons of Dexter.
It's such a drop-off from season 4. The Trinity Killer was such a peak.
I think we've talked about this before. I feel like Dexter kind of comes and goes. Like, season 1 was pretty good. Season 2, not as good. Season 3, good. Or maybe the opposite. Season 2 was really good. Season 3, not as good. Season 4, really good. Season 5 dropped off. Season 6, fucking awesome. Like, it kind of ebbed and flowed the whole series.
Sure.
But yeah, he played Jordan Chase in Dexter. And yes, he was in Hackers. And then also, the guy who plays just the absolute fucking wild card in this film... he plays Begbie.
Yeah.
Robert Carlyle. If you recognize him, most notably, he's the guy in 28 Days Later, which was directed by Danny Boyle.
Yeah. So I have seen 28 Days Later. I'm trying to.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. I've seen 28 Days Later. I actually really liked 28 Days Later.
Yeah, it's kind of, that was the first movie to do, like, fast zombies.
Right. Yeah.
Or maybe not 28 Days. He was in...
I like Cillian Murphy.
He was not in 28 Days Later. I lied.
Oh, okay.
He was in 28 Weeks Later.
That one I saw, but I...
Which was not the Danny Boyle film. So everything I said was bullshit. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that one I saw, but I don't remember him in it. I don't remember him in it. I also...
He was the main character in 28 Weeks Later.
Well, then, I don't remember much about that movie, it would seem.
He played a guy named Don.
Yeah, I was about to say that I knew that Cillian Murphy wasn't the main actor in it. And that would make sense because this guy's the main actor. All right. Yeah, there we go.
But I believe he is in this new one that's coming out 28 years later.
Okay.
Let's see. Yeah, it seems like he's coming back for... Wait, no. Maybe I'm lying again. Yep, lying again.
I can't believe you, Thor.
Wait, hold on. Upcoming. Toxic Town, nope.
Holy crap.
He was in Yesterday, though. He played John Lennon uncredited in Yesterday.
We need to address something real quick.
Okay.
This movie has a sequel.
Yeah, I saw that as I was looking through here. It looks like Trainspotting T2 is what it's called.
Yeah, and it has Ewan McGregor in it.
Oh, does it? Okay.
Yeah, it's got him. It's got the guy who plays Spud. It's got Johnny Lee Miller in it, and it's got Robert Carlyle in it.
Okay, so they just brought the whole...
They brought the whole cast back, or like the of that main group. That's kind of wild. I don't know if I'm interested in seeing it. Like, I'm intrigued, but I don't know. 2017 it came out. Holy crap. Wow. I didn't realize that.
Wait, really?
Mm-hmm. That's what IMDb's saying. That's a little wild. Robert Carlyle.
I don't see why would you need more of this movie.
You don't need more of this movie.
Like, I think it's kind of like a perfect, like, little encapsulated story.
Was he in Once Upon a Time? The Once Upon a Time TV show. Did you watch that? I doubt it's not your thing, but maybe Kendra's watched it.
Is that the one where they do like fairy tales?
Yeah, it's all fairy tale
stuff. I'm familiar with it. I did not watch it though.
So Rumpelstiltskin is one of the main villains / antagonists of that show. Once Upon a Time. Now I've got to look and see if it is him. Yep, he plays a character named Mr. Gold, who is Rumpelstiltskin.
Okay.
Okay, so that's why he looks familiar to me. That's wild. Okay. All right. Yeah, cast was interesting. Also, you know who I really liked in this was Kelly MacDonald, who plays Diane, who plays the underage girl that Renton ends up sleeping with.
Yeah. No, yeah, actually, I think it's a really great character. I kind of love this idea of her being like, will I see you again? And he's like, no, you're
absolutely
a fucking
not.
Teenager. And she's like, well, if you don't come and go out on a date with me again, I'm going to tell the police.
Yeah. She was in No Country for Old Men.
Okay.
I don't know if you've seen that movie.
Yes.
But she played the wife of, of... His name is escaping me. Josh Brolin. She played Josh Brolin's wife. And that she did a really good job in that movie. That was the first thing that I really recognized where she like stuck out to me as. She was also the voice of Merida, the main character in the movie Brave, the Disney movie Brave.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, I didn't recognize her at all. Okay, now I'm pulling her up. Yeah, the face looks familiar.
Yeah.
Let's see what I know her from, because the face looks super familiar. And I am not sure. Holmes and Watson, maybe that? Black Mirror? She's in a Black Mirror episode. Okay, she's Helena Ravenclaw in Harry Potter, Deathly Hallows.
Oh, yeah. Yep, she is that.
Okay.
Now that you say that.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think I know her. It's probably from Harry Potter that I know. Her face certainly looks familiar. I did not recognize her as a young woman, though.
Yeah. Yeah, so this was kind of an intense movie.
Yeah, I find it interesting. One of the things I found interesting about this movie is how often it kind of like has these moments, because it's a very like, it's not like a fantasy movie in any way, but you have these like moments where it kind of like gets fantastical almost. Like,
sure.
when he gets the like time release suppositories.
Oh my gosh.
Dude, what a funny scene where he's like, when he's first trying to quit heroin and he's like, to get off it, he goes to his guy just to get like one last hit. And all the guy has is these like suppositories, these opioids.
Time release capsules. Yeah.
And so he's like, you know, having, heroin makes you constipated. And he's walking and he's like, all of a sudden just, like curls over and he's like no longer constipated and he has to run to find a toilet and he shits out his suppositories he just put in his ass. So then he has to dig in this disgusting toilet.
It's the grossest toilet I have ever seen in my life.
And as he's digging, his whole body goes into the toilet and he's in this like underwater scene.
Yeah, it was an interesting... Like, so
there's a lot of these moments, or there's a point where he's standing on a wall and he jumps off and he just lands in his heroin dealer's house.
Yeah, there were some neat things cinematically done in this, directorially done. Like the scene that you were talking about where he just takes a hit and then he lays down and kind of like falls through the floor.
Yeah.
Visually, there were some neat things that were happening through there. I agree. Yeah. Which is why I think I was so back and forth with this, because some of it hit really hard, but then other times I'm like, oh, wow, that was really cool. Like, this was a really cool scene. Or I think that along with him kind of falling through the floor is a scene where it is when he's actually injecting the needle into his veins, and you have a viewpoint. The camera is inside the needle and you just see the, like, all of the liquid leaving the syringe from inside the syringe. Very cool.
On top of that, you also see all the, like, dirt in there, too. Because that's the thing, is, like, you, like, mix... It's, to the best of my knowledge, like, when you, like, shoot up heroin, you, like, mix it with other shit to give it, like, more substance or something. So it's, like... Yeah, but there's, like, dirt at the bottom of the needle.
It's very
like,
gross.
As it's going... Yeah, it's...
Yeah.
It feels like... And, full disclosure, I've never been on heroin. I'm not a...
Me either.
Not a heroin guy.
Yeah, me either.
So I don't know how true this is to this, to like that experience, but it felt grounded in reality. It felt like kind of like an honest take of like... Well, like, I love the dialogue of this film too, where he's kind of talking about like everything... Everything that you think is important. I love the line where he goes, the awesome thing about heroin is you don't give a shit about your job or your friends
right.
or your relationships. You don't have to worry about that. There's only one thing you got to worry about. Where am I going to score my next hit?
Yeah.
Basically. Like,
yeah, that was an interesting line.
It just felt, and like, I am familiar with addiction, like from other, just not like specific, like once again, never specifically been addicted to heroin. So I can't speak to like the truth of it or anything, but like, it certainly felt all grounded in like reality and kind of like, I think that's oftentimes lost on people is like, I don't get why people are, you know, we have an opioid epidemic currently in our country.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I think a lot of people from the outside looking in are like, I don't understand it. And I do like that kind of like look of like, yeah, it's the best thing ever. It's better than sex. It's the best thing of all time. It's the greatest feeling in the world. Like,
yeah, it scares me, to be honest.
Yeah, like, if I'm being 100%, I think it should probably. I think there's a lot of evidence to support that it should.
Yeah, like, it's just such a spooky thing to me. Yeah, thankfully, it's never had an appeal to me. I've had friends who that type of stuff has.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just kind of a wild thing. I think overall, I did enjoy this movie.
I like the hooliganism of them.
Yeah.
When they're running from the cops, when they're beating up a tourist on the first day of the Edinburgh Festival.
Exactly.
Like, he just walks into the bathroom and they just all walk in behind
him. Beat the crap out of him and mug him.
Take his money.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fun in this movie.
There is.
It's very fun.
Yeah, but there's also some real deep stuff too. And I do think that it takes a good look at the substance abuse.
Yeah.
I mean, it clearly does not play a good role on any of their lives.
You know what I want to ask you about? The last 20 minutes of this movie,
mm-hmm.
where they kind of like, they come into this really cheap, like two bricks of heroin
sure.
that they're trying to unload in London. So they go to London, they meet with this guy who's like a real serious drug dealer and they try to haggle with him. And the guy's like, I want, or like Begbie is like, I want 20 grand. He's like, I'll give you 15. He's like, well, 17.5. No. Okay. Well, fucking 16 then. He's like, well, fucking 16 it is. Like, he literally just haggles himself down. The guy doesn't really say anything.
Yeah.
Hilarious. And then, like, the whole thing is like, Ewan McGregor is trying to like get out of this life, and he's like, I don't even really want to be friends with these people.
Sure.
What do you think about the ending scene when he steals all the money from his friends and runs like, and how the movie ends where he's like, I'm going to take this money and I'm going to go live a better life. What do you think about all that?
So I almost that scene, not specifically that, but when they were in the situation where they were getting back into it, and then Ewan McGregor Renton happened to be the person to have to try the quality of the stuff.
Yeah.
That almost ruined the movie for me. Because if he would have then just gotten hooked again, and that's how the movie would have ended, I'd have been furious.
Okay.
I really would have hated it. So I really like that he didn't go down that route. And honestly, I don't have too much of a thought about him.
The point I'm making is like, do you think that, because basically the thing is he stole like 16,000 pounds from his friends.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
But immediately after he tries it, he's like, well, I had to do a little bit more before we went to London. He goes into the bathroom on the bus to shoot heroin again.
Yeah.
So like that was kind of the funniest part of that is he's like, he steals the money because he's like, I'm going to go make a better life for myself. Do you think he actually did that? Like, no, he just always makes the worst decision. He's going to shoot all of that money into his arm.
That's not the case.
It's definitely the case.
I hope that it's not, though. I am choosing to think that he is not going to do that. Because I feel like so much of the movie is him trying to get away from those people. And as the movie goes on, he likes them less and less and less. Yeah. Right? Because then he goes and moves to London.
That's certainly a theme of the movie, yeah.
Yeah, he goes to London and then they just like track him down and they start squatting in his apartment.
Yeah, and he's basically, because they're his friends, right. So he feels like this obligation to let them hang out. He can't just speak up and say, get the fuck out. Yeah. I don't want to be part of this anymore.
Yeah, but they're not his friends. They're just in his world at that point, right?
Yeah, and I like it. He even like mentions the part where he's like, they were just hanging out, just seeing what they could steal.
Yeah.
You know?
So him swiping the money, I hope that he swipes the money and goes and makes a better life for himself like he says he's going to. I hope that he actually has the realization, like, I don't like these people. I need to get out of this circle. This is it, type of thing. I would like to believe that that's what happens. But there's a sequel to the movie, so I don't know if that happens.
Well, and also, but even like without the sequel, without knowing there's a sequel, like he could have just taken his cut. He still made a profit. He could have just taken his cut.
Yeah, but they're scumbags.
He could have just taken his cut and left and made his own life and cut them out of his life. The way he did it was
scumbaggery.
Still back to, yeah. Scumbaggery, going back to his old ways. That's why, like, for me, the ultimate joke of the movie is like him continuing to tell himself still, oh, I'm gonna be a better person. Okay, when in reality, he's not. Like, to me, I didn't take any hopefulness away from that. I was like, okay. I saw it and I was like, oh no, he's just going to shoot it all up because
yeah,
he's just still lying to himself.
I hope that's not the case. I took it as, you know what, these people aren't my friends. I don't care if I screw them over because my experience has not been great with them type of thing. Like they're not good people. Is this a good thing that I'm doing? No. Does it really matter though? Because they're all pieces of shit. That's kind of like the morally gray area that it was. So in any case, that's kind of where my thoughts are, but I don't know. Maybe we'll watch the sequel and talk about it. And maybe he'll shoot $16,000 into his arm. I have no idea.
He definitely did. There's no way he did it.
Well, we're at the point, man, where we gotta talk about ratings and.
Okay, let's see. I want to come up with a good one. All right,
boy, a good one. Good one.
Oh, okay. I gotta Google real quick.
Ooh, Google. One of my favorite old websites.
How much?
Oh, geez.
Or how many milligrams?
I was gonna regale the viewers with a. I was just going to say,
I'm just Googling how many milligrams do you shoot of heroin?
That's good. That's good to have in your search recommendation. I was going to say that there used to be a website. I don't think it exists anymore. It was called gizoogle.com. It was what? GIZOOGLE.com.
Okay.
Go ahead, Thor.
Okay, so this is my exact Google shirt. Exact Google search.
Uh-huh.
How many milligrams of heroin does a junkie shoot? It's not even a search result. It's like one of the Google like suggested things that comes up, and it just says, "Help is available. Speak with somebody today. 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. Substance use support."
So it's just not giving you the.
Okay. Heroin fast facts from United States Department of Justice.
Oh my gosh.
Ooh, fun. Here, you want to know something? So it took me to the site from the government that's like heroin fast facts for. It's like things like, what is heroin? What does it look like? How is heroin abused? What are the risks?
How is heroin abused? Is there a way that you don't abuse heroin?
It has one of those little like side in a different color, like side notes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Street terms for heroin. You ready?
I'm ready. Hit me with
Big
them.
H, boy, capital H, China White, Chiva.
Did you say China Light?
China White.
Oh, okay.
Chiva, dead on arrival, diesel, dope, eighth, good H, hell dust, horse, junk, Mexican horse, mud, poppy, smack, thunder, train, and white junk.
Why are there so many names?
None of these answered my question.
Yeah,
no,
the internet's not going to answer your question, Thor.
Nobody has ever, I just want to point out, nobody has ever called heroin fucking thunder.
Thunder?
Maybe they have. You got some of that train. You got some diesel. Like, shut up. Shut up, government. Okay.
So anyway, this Gazoogle website would take any website that you had. You could copy the URL of it, take it to Gazoogle.com. Gazoogle.com, by the way, the two O's in Gazoogle were rims that were spinners. And what that website would do is it would translate any website that you put into it into Ebonics.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Wait, so what does it translate into? Does this website still exist?
I don't think so.
Okay,
I don't think so anymore.
We should throw some phrases in there.
No, yeah, but it would translate any website that you had. It would basically reload the website, but instead of in English, quote unquote,
so
it would
like
be
Google
in
Google Translate for Ebonics.
Yes,
love it.
100%.
Okay.
Holy shit! It still exists.
Okay.
Okay. All right. All right. All right. All right. All right. Sorry, Thor. Continue with your heroin search, please.
Dude, it's so hard to find out how much. Oh, my God. Come on. I can't find. Because I was trying to find a scale of, like, you know.
Sure.
How many milligrams? Yeah, how many milligrams? But. Okay, it gave me an auto, like, kind of like an auto search. Let's try, how much heroin was in Kurt Cobain's system?
So I'm trying to use this website. We're on two different pages right now. I apologize.
You know, okay, while you're looking for that.
Yeah.
I got a scale for you.
Okay.
So we're going to rate this movie. On a scale of 1 to 1,000 grams of heroin, because a kilogram... it's 1,000 grams. That's how the metric system works.
That is
so on a scale of 1 to 1,000 grams of heroin.
Okay.
How much heroin are you going to do, Micah?
I'm not going to do any. But is this a negative scale? Like, is this
golf
score?
Nope. Nope. Can you do this whole kilo of heroin?
No. And not at all.
Of thunder. Can you do how much thunder?
How much thunder you
going
to do?
How much thunder can you do?
I don't like this scale.
Noted.
So, purely on recommending this movie, what is it, 500 out of 1,000? Because I would say the equivalent of a 5 out of 10.
Okay.
Because there were things that I liked about this movie, and then there were things that I didn't like about this. You know what? 6 out of 10.
Okay.
Because I do think overall I liked it. I didn't care for... when there's not much to root for, I have a tough time getting enjoyment out of the film.
That's fair.
So there wasn't much to root for. I really did not care for the dead baby scene.
Yeah.
But it was an interesting movie.
Make him haunted by the dead baby.
It did. Yes. Yeah. And they didn't make light of it. Right. And I appreciate that. Like, the severity of that did have repercussions. It totally shifted the tone of the film. So I liked that they took it for what it was as far as how serious it was. Overall, I would say that I liked it. I don't think I'm ever going to want to watch it again.
Okay.
Unless somebody has a real big hankering for it and wants me to watch it with them for some reason.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I guess. But I'm not going to seek it out. I'm weirdly intrigued that there's a sequel.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. Like, where do you take this?
Yeah.
It's also like 20 years later.
Exactly.
Which is interesting, yeah.
So for what that's worth, that's kind of where I'm at with it. I would say 6 out of 10.
Okay.
Or 600 out of 1,000.
Yeah. 600 milligrams of heroin, that's how much Micah is going to do.
I'm not, and I don't like the scale, but that's where we're at.
Okay. Yeah, no, since this was a listener recommendation, I'm probably a little higher. I'm probably like 750 grams of heroin.
Okay.
I really like, because I think it is, a lot of it is a fun movie. I think it's a really interesting look into the life. It's kind of like a character study of like a young person who's just trying to find his way in the world.
Sure.
It is a bit dated. It's also, if you're American, you should probably watch it with subtitles, because it takes place in Scotland and they have very Scottish accents. They don't try to shy away from it, especially the parts with Robert Carlyle. Like, his guy is just fucking going off like, hey, fuck, I better say about that. And I'm like, I have no idea what he said, but I kind of get what he's saying just based on the context of his tone of voice.
Yeah.
I really like, visually, I think it does a lot of cool things, like him sinking into the sea, like the kind of weird camera tricks and the weird, like, fantastical shit it does. I think it's a really interesting film, and I think it does a lot of, like, it's trying to do a lot of cool stuff. That being said, I think it's also a little bit of a slow movie. It's a little bit boring in certain parts.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of drags a bit. Where it's like, I get it, he's high on heroin and he's sad about it.
Right.
There are a bit of that.
That's kind
of
how I felt about most of the movie.
But I did overall enjoy it. I think I'm like 750 out of 1,000 grams of heroin. So right. I'm getting a little higher than Micah.
Yeah, good for you, Thor.
Either way, I'm pretty sure we're both going to overdose.
Yeah, we're both going to have a Tommy situation happening here. All right. Well, there you have it, folks. You know what? Just to end this episode.
Yeah, have you translated a website into Ebonics?
I have translated some things into Ebonics.
Okay. Let's do it.
So I specifically translated the summary of Trainspotting.
Okay.
So I'm going to read Trainspotting as it is written on IMDb. Sorry for the storyline. It says, a wild free form. Is it Rebelasian trip? Is that the pronunciation there? Rebelasian trip through the darkest recesses of Edinburgh lowlife, focusing on Mark Renton and his attempts to give up on his heroin habit, but how the latter affects his relationship with family and friends. Sean Connery wannabe sick boy, dimbulb Spud, psycho Begbie, 14-year-old girlfriend Diane, and clean-cut Tommy, who's never touched drugs, but he can't help being curious about them. That's okay. All right.
Pretty now, concise, apt description.
Mm-hmm. So if you go to Gazoogle, you can copy the URL and it will translate it into Ebonics. All right. Here we go. A wild, free-form revelation trip all up in the darkest, the as in T-H-A, darkest recesses of Edinburgh lowlife, focusing on Mark Renton and his thugged out attempt to give up his heroin habit, and how that, and how the fuck the latter aspects his began to reason shizzle with cruising players, shizzle Connery wannabe sick boy, dimbulb Spulb, psycho Begbie, 14-year-old ho Diane, and clean-cut athlete Tommy, who's never touched icky stickies but can't help being curious about them wild-ass motherfuckers.
Dude. I think I want to filter all of my internet searches from now on through this
website. It's kind of hilarious. It's kind of hilarious. Yeah, so gazoogle.net is the website. If you want to go there and do your own searches, I tried to copy the URL and bring it in there.
Gazoogle.net, if you're listening, and I know that you are, send us some cash and we will promote you on the show every episode.
Every episode. Yeah, so instead of clicking the Google button, so it's Gazoogle, you click it and it's Gazoogle this shiznit.
Fuck it. Jesus Christ.
All right. And it's hashtag Gazoogle for all y'all bitches who want to find out shiznit. It's so stupid. And then at the bottom of it, it goes, this is a parody website not affiliated with Google in any way.
So, they got real white for that part.
Yeah. But so when I clicked Google dis shiznit, it came up with a thing that basically said that there were too many people on there. So it comes up with an error message, but here's the error message. It has a picture of Snoop Dogg,
uh-huh.
And it says, "Aw, shit, dog. We're too popular. It happens. We're currently overloaded with y'all hustlers. Nah, I mean. In the meantime, y'all can still use Textilizer," which is what I used, "or get VIP access on the official iPhone app." So if you use Textilizer, what it does is it opens up a window for you to just copy and paste text in there, and it translates the text that you put in.
Yes. Okay.
So for what it's worth. Anyway, that's what we have to say about Trainspotting. It's a 6 to 7.5 out of 10.
No, 600 to 750 grams of heroin.
Yeah, that.
Out of a scale of a kilogram.
Sure. Yep, that right there. What do you guys think? I especially want to hear from you if you are in Scotland. That's what I want to know about. I want to hear about the Scotland boys and girls. You know, give us a ring on the telly. Do they use telly? Is that a thing?
Yeah, we're across the pond over here. Why don't you let us know what it's like doing heroin in Scotland? How cool is it?
I guess, I mean...
Did this movie do justice to just how cool it is to do heroin?
Damn it, Thor. I was trying to get an... anyway, you can find us on the multitude...
Oh, yeah, give us a recommendation, too. That's what we do here.
Yeah,
so.
That's what I would prefer. You can find us on Instagram. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Threads. And you can send us an email at getrecpod at email at... getrecpod@gmail.com. Thor, take it away.
That's GITRECDPOD at gmail.com. And send us your recommendations. Reach out to me and I'll send you our address so you can send us some of that sweet Scottish dope, that sweet Scottish thunder I've been hearing about.
That thunder. Yeah.
I'm definitely not a cop, and if I tell you I'm not a cop, then that means I can't arrest you. So definitely send us some of that sweet Scottish thunder. Michael, what's next week's recommendation?
Yeah, next week's recommendation. Boy, that was a good segue. So I think that I'm going to give you a movie.
Okay.
I don't know if you've seen it, though. So it's a Coen brother film.
Okay.
Have you seen The Lady Killers?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Tom Hanks. I know we've talked about it before. I have not seen it. No.
It's been in the back of my mind for a bit, and I'm looking at the DVD right now.
Okay.
And it's one that I have been wanting to send to you. So we're going to get into The Lady Killers.
Cool.
It is a little bit of a heist movie. In fact, that's exactly what it is. It's a heist movie.
Nice.
And it's about all of this team of heisters that are using this sweet little old black lady's basement as their home base to plan and prep for this big heist.
Cool.
So it's a dark comedy. I really feel like you're going to enjoy it. It's okay. A Coen brother film. I love the Coen brothers.
I love the Coen brothers. I love Tom Hanks.
Yeah. So I really do think that you're going to enjoy it.
That's my medication alarm. So
sorry
about that.
Yeah. So next week we're going to get into The Lady Killers starring Tom Hanks. Until next time, folks.
As always,
you get wrecked out there
and stay wrecked, but don't stay on heroin.
The thoughts and comments of Thor Jolly do not necessarily reflect, nor do we condone, the Get Wrecked podcast episode or podcast.
I don't think that sentence made sense.
It's because you made me deal with a whole bunch of crap at the end of this episode, Thor. I was fine until like 10 minutes ago. Then you murdered my brain with heroin talk.
Don't do drugs. Folks.
Don't do drugs. Yeah, just don't do it. Please don't. We don't condone it, and we're not liable for indefinite... don't sue us either.
But you should do heroin. It seems pretty
cool. No!